This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Couple days ago, Ian Rappaport, also Dan Dugan, who covers the, or Duggan, not sure, covers the Giants, had this report that Joe Shane internally is looked at as doing a better job than externally looked at.
Is it a new report or an old report?
Well, it's a little bit of both because it's new to us talking about it this morning. Yeah. Old in the sense that it was put out there a couple of days ago.
Hey, come on, Joe Shane fits the whole Wingfoot look.
Sure, he does. That is absolutely right. You said that at the time when he was hired.
Yes.
That still applies. But yeah, I mean, Ian Rappaport also put in there an interesting part where he goes, keeping Joe Shane through the draft. Now, we did see this in New York once before.
McCagnan and Douglas.
Yeah, with Mike McCagnan. They keep Mike McCagnan through the draft, then fire him. And I don't know if that's something that the Giants are considering to do with Joe Shane. But in this one article, it says Giants ownership has been burned too many times by abrupt regime changes over the past decade. And there's growing belief inside the building that Shane's personnel plan still deserves runway. From the outside, the case looks shaky. 12-38 across shaky. 12-38 across the last three seasons offers little evidence of meaningful progress, but internally, Shane is credited with cleaning up the cap mess he inherited, modernizing scouting and analytics processes, and finally adding blue chip upside at premium positions.
Now, interesting, as I see, 2019 was McCagan's last draft.
Yeah.
He drafted Quinnen Williams.
Ah.
Ja'Kai Polite.
Ja'Kai Polite.
Chuma Edoga.
All right.
Trevon Wesco. Remember
Trevon
that name?
Wesco, yeah.
Blake Cashman. And Blessin Austin.
Yeah.
Is that Rami?
It is, yeah.
Oh, what's he doing?
He's embedded somehow in that article. Doing his podcast, his video podcast with Bilal Powell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're looking at there, but yeah, that's an embedded video. Is that a Jet Nation type of thing? JetNation.com?
It's New York Jets video or something of some sort.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So keeping Joe Shane to me would be a massive mistake. I think that the time has come. We've gone over it many, many times. I know that it's a little bit of an odd time with Giants ownership and Mr. Mara's health, but I just don't know how you could bring back a man after 4 years who has produced a 12-38 record.
Wow.
I mean, that is just an atrocity.
Well, they're going to do it.
Do you think they are?
Yep. I think they're going to keep him.
Wow. How? I mean, those things, all right. To a guy like me, fans that are listening,
yep.
Like, when I hear 12-38, the modernizing scouting and his personnel deserves runway and all these things that I just talked about and improving the scouting and analytics processes. Like, if those things trump the 12-38 record, that to me means that ownership has no idea what the hell they're looking at. Which would be the opposite. Normally, you would think that, you know, ownership that would, I mean, who knows football, but they would look at, you know, the record and be like, this isn't good enough. But look at all the behind the scenes stuff. I don't care. The record's not good enough.
It's not good enough, but I also know that their quarterback situation, much like the Jets, has been abysmal. As good as Daniel Jones was at times, he was unreliable because he was unavailable.
Yeah.
And the Indianapolis Colts have found that out this year.
Yep.
I mean, so when you don't have that guy, it just doesn't, like, you're going to put, like, look at the quarterbacks that the Jets and the Giants have thrown out there late in these seasons.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets worse than the Giants, but the Giants, yeah, I mean, it's been.
The Giants now have their guy, and I believe they have their guy, and there's no question that I believe that Jackson Dart can make it here. I think, you know, he has shown that he can make every single throw. Gets a little helter-skelter, but he is a rookie. You know, and it's something that I could definitely build around him if I get the right coach in here with the right offense.
But now you're having Joe Shane be a big part of hiring the coach, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, of course you have to. So, to me, it seems like it's going to be a younger coach as opposed to an older coach. Because, you know, an older coach is going to want to do things his way. And I'm talking about specifically like Mike McCarthy.
How about Jackson Dart's dad? How about that one over the break?
I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
You didn't?
I did not.
Oh, you're gonna love this!
Oh, I love when families get involved. And
you are gonna
go
you
on
didn't
podcasts.
See this?
I did not.
Oh,
see
this is great! I can't wait to tell you about this one.
Okay.
So, Danny Cannell said that the Giants really need to examine whether or not Jackson Dart is the long-term solution at quarterback for them. And Jackson Dart's dad, quote, posted on X that video of Danny Cannell saying that with the phrase "suck a fat one."
Kind of like his dad.
Yeah.
Man, so, I don't know if my dad would have done that, but I, you know, that's, you know, this is his dad's mired into social media, like,
yeah,
swamp.
Yeah, he went right in there.
He's right in there, man.
Did not mince words.
Because he loves his son,
that's
man.
That's right. Left it up there.
And his son,
far my knowledge.
And his son, you know, as we like to say around here, has got some juice to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his son's going to be fine, man. And the Cam Scataboo coming back next year, get the right coach in here. They could turn this thing around immediately.
Remember,
I'm telling you.
You were brought up on, I think it's Brandon Dart, I want to say. You were brought up on Jackson Dart's father's podcast when he had Lane Kiffin on. Remember?
Yeah, you know, when I talked about Lane Kiffin possibly, you know, being the Giant head coach, you know, I just threw that out there for S's and giggles.
Right, but that was the first time I was aware that Jackson Dart's father was out there talking about stuff as much as he is. And, yeah, hammered Danny Cannell with that suck a fat one.
I just want to get the quote correct just so he's not misquoted.
Yeah.
Bro, eat a fat one.
Oh, eat a fat one. Sorry. Wanted to be eating.
You know what? Why is it all over him hiring him for Barstool?
Yeah. Eat a fat one. That's right. I'm sorry.
Sounds like a Barstool dad. Like, they should have a thing called Barstool Dads.
They do, actually. Yeah. It was called the Podfather. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Podfather.
Yeah.
Who was the Podfather?
They had several of them. I believe KFC was one of them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about athletes. family members.
Oh, God.
Athletes' dads.
You would hate that.
Like Barstool dads. Yeah, but it would give us so much content.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, Jackson Dart's dad is his biggest fan, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's going to protect him every turn.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny to hear, like, a failed Giants quarterback talk about that in that way. And then the dad come flying in with eat a fat one. Now, do you think, like...
I think it's amazing.
Like, would he have said that? Let me ask you, though.
All right.
Like, what is the level where he does not... Of someone's playing career where he does not go eat a fat one? So, like, a guy like Mark Schlereth, for example, is he telling him to eat a fat one?
Probably not. I mean, you know,
I think yes.
Well,
I think
he's a telling, Super Bowl winner. He's got surgeries coming out the yin yang. I mean, like he knows football. Guy knows football. He's eaten, slept, and drank it.
What about Jerry's partner, Steve Berline? Steve Berline says Jackson Dart's not the answer. Brandon Dart go eat a fat one on Steve Berline?
No, I don't think so. Isn't Danny Cannell like the college guy for the SEC? Isn't that what
he does stuff for CBS, I thought. Like CBS HQ? Sports or something, yeah.
CBS HQ or something?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of that, you know, congratulations to a great, great career, Gary Danielson.
Oh, my goodness.
Love Gary.
Absolutely.
Love Gary and Brad Nessler. You know, I told you I worked with Brad way back when in the early 90s for the World League of American Football.
Yeah.
And USA Network, great play-by-play partner, great guy. And those two guys are really good. And then congratulations to Charles Davis, who's going to take Gary Danielson's spot for CBS College now.
Would Brandon Dart say eat a fat one of Charles Davis? I bet you he would.
No.
100%.
I bet you would. Charles Davis. Come on, man.
But he probably would, though. I mean, see, it's like if Brady said it, he wouldn't say it. If Aikman said it, he wouldn't say it. Collinsworth. Is he telling Collinsworth to eat a fat one?
No. But Collinsworth wouldn't say, I think, what Danny Cannell said.
True.
You know, I think most of the guys that you are talking about, from what I would gather, all believe that Jackson Dart's got what it takes to be good.
Yeah.
Assuming he stays away from the concussions and just learns to play the game a little bit smarter, which he will because it's youthful inexperience and kids think that they're indestructible.
Yeah, I just love the fact that there was a decision made there that this is Danny Cannell. Like I'm gonna like, forget about your playing career, Danny Cannell. I don't care anything. You're eating a fat one. Like, he would say to me, he would tell me to eat a fat one if this went out there without a doubt.
100%.
Of course.
Like, if I were J.J. McCarthy's dad, I'd say, hey, Gio, eat a fat one.
Yeah, exactly. And I would totally understand that.
Yes.
But it's like, what's fascinating to me is this man did play in the NFL but didn't have a great career.
But he made it. And he was a great college player.
And Brandon Dart was like, you know what? You are the type of guy who played in the NFL that I can say to eat a fat one. But there's other guys who I would stop short of that and maybe text on the side and say, what are you talking about?
I think for a guy like Danny Cannell, who I've worked with from time to time on the CBS Sports Network, is very well informed, does have strong opinions. And he's learned that for a guy like him, his strong opinions are what's going to keep him employed.
So this long, winding road of a discussion leads me to the biggest question.
Yes.
Is he asking you to eat a fat one?
Oh, no. Of course not. Why would he?
Well, you got very strong. I'm talking about if you had Danny Cannell's opinion.
Oh, okay.
It's not, I know that you love Jackson Dart and want to be here. If you had Danny Cannell's opinion, would he look at you as like talk show host Boomer, or would he look at you as NFL MVP Boomer? Would he ask you to eat a fat one? My answer would be no. I would say no. He would not.
Yeah, but I would say no, because I would just send him Peyton's place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
For me, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit as we go through the week, I am praying as a New York Giant fan that whoever loses the Steelers-Ravens game, which will be for the division, whether it's Mike Tomlin, who had a clear, after they beat the Ravens, after they rallied from a kind of a mid-season lull, beat the Ravens, take a clear division lead, only need to beat the Browns to secure division. If they blow that game and then lose to the Ravens and lose that division, and the entire fan base, which was crazy earlier in the year, screaming, fire Tomlin. Even Ben Roethlisberger, who walked it back, of course, but had negative things to say, or at least said he should go to college and coach. I could see them moving on. And the same thing for the Ravens. It's been 19 years, 18 years, whatever it's been. Lamar and Harbaugh just haven't won together. They haven't been able to get over the hump. They haven't been able to win that big game. 2 weeks ago, which was now a huge game, but 2 weeks ago, the inability to just give Henry the ball late in the game with a lead when he's a dominant running back and has been your best player this entire season, even though he's had some fumble issues. And just the idea that it's been forever and now it's kind of feels like it would all fall apart if they don't even make the playoffs this year and win the division in a year where, again, for both of these teams and for any other, for the Bills too, obviously, no Patrick Mahomes, no Andy Reid, no Kansas City Chiefs, a wide open AFC in many ways, a lot of different teams. You're trusting, you know, some of the best teams. You're trusting May, who might be the MVP, I suppose, but a rookie quarterback. You got Bo Nix with Denver, excellent defense, really good team. They've won a ton, obviously, but do you trust Bo Nix in a big spot? Trevor Lawrence in a big spot? Like, these teams are all good and have played extremely well and have been well coached, in particular, those three. But do you trust the quarterback in a big spot? And instead, well, you know, you could be going home on a year that, like, if the Ravens sneak in and Lamar can get healthy, it's a dangerous team. But if they don't, could John Harbaugh be available? If Tomlin, like I said, loses, could Tomlin be available? And if so, that is clear cut. You're going to have a real tough time if you're a Giants fan or anybody else trying to convince me that that shouldn't be the hire for the New York Giants. If either of those two coaches shake free, I don't care what coordinator you're going to give me. I don't care who is so brilliant. I don't care what you think. I don't care how much we all love Flores around here. Apparently, every other phone call I take, Brian Flores should be the next head coach of somebody. And got screwed for not being the next head coach of that team the year before or whatever. Like, every other call seems to be Brian Flores. Like, you're going to have a hard time telling me anybody but Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh, if available, should be the head coach of the New York Giants. So we'll go around the league a little bit with Brian Baldinger in the 12 o'clock hour, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your calls here. Again, you know, we talked about the obvious nature of some of the things that need to happen. And, you know, the report yesterday, or Sunday rather now, of Joe Shane being in place, right? Whether it's the report from Rappaport earlier in the day, that was really just the tagline at the bottom of his report on NFL Network, that Joe Shane expects to be here through the draft, or they expect Joe Shane to be there through the draft, and then followed up by Pat Leonard on his podcast on YouTube or whatever. Pat Leonard talking about he believes that Joe Shane is operating as if he will be back and that the expectation is he will be back. And then Dan Duggard came out and he's reporting as well that all expectations are that he's coming back. And people seem to be taken aback by this and surprised. And I don't understand why. That's my major take back. One, we all know it shouldn't be. Like, I don't know if you would have to go 1,000 miles to find a New York Giant fan who believes that Joe Shane should be back, right? You can call me up, please. I'd love to hear the case. But even if you disagree on that, we could have a discussion on it. Most people feel like he needs to go. But here's my main point, because we could argue that for forever, and you could give me this pick, and I can give you that pick, and this disaster, and just the overall record of losing and futility. But what are people so surprised by? This is what, I don't know why it's bothering me, but it's bothering me. What are we so surprised by? People just took him in a press conference saying everything will be evaluated, including myself, and then just the obvious nature of the record and the way the season has played out, and everybody just assumed, well, he'll be gone. Why? The Giants came out when they fired Brian Daboll and told you exactly what they think of him. And they gave you the same reasons I told you I think it could be turned around next year. He's smart. The way he runs the scouting department is completely new and amazing to us. And, you know, there is a young core in this team that we believe in. He's put the pieces together. We're going to allow him to hire the next head coach. He told you in the press conference, like when asked about the idea that he could be a hindrance to any head coach taking the job, he laughed at the question and said, you should see how much my phone is ringing. I promise you, we're not going to have a problem filling the position of head coach. Like, he is who they have chosen. And I think a lot of it, unfortunately, is because of the health of the owner. Either the family is in no position or no desire to go through that type of, you know, search for someone who's going to run the entire thing, or just the idea that they made a decision, they believe in him, and they want to stick with that decision and see if it plays out. Whatever the case may be, there has been no real indication other than the obvious assumption, because it's been 4 years of losing. Well, 3 years of losing. Other than that obvious, there's no way they could keep him element that's been running through us at you know, talking heads here at the Fan or in the fan base. Other than that, there's been no indication that he's going anywhere ever. And then this report, and I see Giant fans react like, oh, wait, are they going to beat the Raiders? And I got to hear that the GM's coming back. We know he's coming back. They've told us. He's coming back. Aaron Glenn is coming back. They are running it back. Now, I have strong opinions and reasoning behind it on why both of them should be gone, but they're coming back. And the surprise for anyone is more surprising to me than anything else. I don't know what Giant fans suddenly were shocked about. Rappaport didn't even talk about it. It was just at the bottom of the screen. It was irrelevant to the conversation. And we're acting like it's the biggest thing. Oh, my God. He didn't even talk about it. Unless I missed the video I watched, it's just, he didn't even say anything about that. He was talking about something else, and it just said at the bottom, GM, expected to be back. People flipped. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. They have chosen him, and this is my main problem with it. Forget the resume. Same thing as I said with the Jets. The New York Giants have still a chance to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, right? With a loss against Dallas and a Raider win against the Chiefs, the Giants will have the number one pick in the draft. Right now, it feels like a one quarterback draft. That's subject to change, no doubt. But if they get the number one pick, and then if circumstances change from the way it feels at the moment, they're going to be either the number one or number two pick with an opportunity to trade out and make more picks. Acquire more picks, make more picks. Has Joe Shane done enough with the New York Giants to earn the right to make a franchise-altering decision like that? Like, that's as big a decision that the Giants are going to make in a long time. The quarterback for the Jets, as big a decision as they're going to make. The ability to make the trade and then to use those picks to shape the roster around the young quarterback and the new head coach. Those are what that's going to make the Giants for the next 2 or 3 years at the minimum. Has Joe Shane earned the right to be the guy making that decision? I don't know how the answer to that question is yes. I just don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
For the final time in 2025, how are we doing today? McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours. A five-hour ride. That's right. It's not to midnight. We'll be riding till midnight, though. Even the kiddies are riding to midnight tonight on this New Year's Eve. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. And again, we'll be taking your calls for 5 hours. We've got Nico on the other side, and we'll take you through this afternoon right here on The Fan. And you know, it is New Year's Eve, and I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to, you know, I did the morning with Jerry on Monday, and he was trying to give me the bright side of the New York Giants. And we're going to start with the New York Giants because I can't yell about Aaron Glenn any longer. I can't yell about the Jets. God knows we can't talk any, like, we can't, the hot topic isn't the baseball teams who are doing nothing, although I'm going to yell about them a little bit later. And we'll get to the Knicks and everything else, and maybe even give you some hot takes leading into 2026. And something that needs to be gone away with in 2026. We'll do that as well. We'll have some fun. We'll take your calls, 888-808-1019. But I'm trying to be positive about the Giants, right? Because I was talking to Brian Baldinger yesterday, and he gave me all the same things that Jerry gave me and all the same things that I can come up with, right? Jackson Dart, how good he looks, how confident I am in him, his ability to run and throw, the way he uplifted the team, right? Any coach would want to come coach him. Any coach would want to come and coach Malik Nabers and Cam Scadaboo and a bunch of talent on the defense, right? And there's reasons to be positive. Get the right head coach in here. There should be some candidates out there available. We'll figure out if Mike Tomlin is available. We'll figure out possibly if John Harbaugh is available. It's probably most likely in my mind, outside of maybe someone mentioned yesterday, the Bills letting go of McDermott. But outside of that, this should be the most prized job on the market after Black Monday. I truly believe that. And I believe there can be a fast turnaround. We have seen that in the NFL. It's built that way. We're watching the Bears win a division. We're watching the Patriots be one of the best teams in football. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Giants make this leap next year. And I'm trying to be positive, but I can't help myself because I am so damn scared of what's going to happen on Sunday. And here we are again. Yes, that's right. That is right. I am so freaking scared, and I'm going to make a statement right now. I'm going to make a statement right now that's hard. One final flip-flop before we head in to 2026. One final flip-flop. I am against Joe Shane. I don't think he's done a good enough job. I don't think he deserves to make the draft pick. I don't deserve he believes to be the GM. But you know what? Honestly, as I keep thinking about this, and I watch, you know, the clips that are coming out from Hard Knocks and HBO about, you know, Jackson Dart walking off the field, giving the pound to Joe Shane, saying we need to do more of this and everything. I honestly hope either he's coming back or the decision has already been made with Joe Shane and he knows what's happening. Because I'm telling you right now, if he believes that he has to win this game against the Cowboys, if he believes that, and you've already heard Mike Kafka come out and say that they're playing the game, that everybody's playing the full game, they're attacking it like any other game this year, it's balls to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, balls to the wall to make sure they beat the Dallas Cowboys the last game of the season. Balls to the wall. As the Cowboys are going to start Dak, but if you listen to the way the owner spoke on his radio show, right, they're not going to play him the whole game. So what it sounds like, Dak's not going to play this entire game. They just, cut Trayvon Diggs for wanting to stay with his family on Christmas. I have no idea what kind of game plan, I have no idea what kind of team the Dallas Cowboys are going to show up and want to be on Sunday afternoon. And I know this. When I tried to just paint that picture of the Giants being this team that could turn it around next year and be this attractive place to come and be the next head coach and take this team with the talent it has, part of that was that you had a top draft pick. And I know we put all the emphasis on the Tank Bowl against the Raiders, right? And I'm bummed they won that game. We can get into all the different reasons why, but we could argue about that all we want. The fact of the matter is, right now, it's one thing to tell me they're going to be the two pick, right? And now we've got Dante Moore, who might come out of Oregon. Already a lot of talk about him being right up there. We'll see. There's other quarterbacks. Chris, you can't. It's not just a one quarterback draft. Other quarterbacks will make their way to the top, whether it's a pro day, whether it's the combine, whether it's obviously, you know, whether or not, you know, Moore comes out and how he plays in the tournament. Like, don't worry about it. Even at number two, you can get a big pick. You can get a big return. Because I got to tell you, Giant fans, and I know many of you disagree, but if we have to go through this slop of a season, watch the coach get fired, watch big lead after big lead slip through their fingers. Ugly weekend after ugly weekend, losing game after game, falling down the standings, watching everything happen, keeping the GM, firing the coach, not firing the defensive coordinator, Mike Kafka looking lost, the concussion to Jackson Dart, the talk around Jackson Dart's game, the questions whether or not he's the future quarterback, watching injury after injury, another miserable, dead, disgusting New York Giant season on our hands yet again. And if I have to go through 16 weeks of that, only to have the one idea of the saving grace of the season to have a top pick when they already have the quarterback and the ability to trade back and get a ton of picks that can help fill out this roster that needs defensive backs, that needs safeties, cornerbacks, needs a linebacker, could always use offensive linemen, could use players all over the field to help put a roster around this young quarterback that we all believe in. That's what the minute Mendoza won the Big Ten championship and made those throws down the end of that game, that was the thought. He's a big time prospect. We're at the top of the draft. Let's get that big pick and have a big haul. And I'm telling you right now, if I have to go through 16 weeks, and that's the problem, not winning in week 17 and not maybe beating the Dallas Cowboys, but going through the 16 weeks hoping that they could get that big return. And now you look at it, and again, Dak, I don't know how much he's going to play, but it sounds like he's not going to play the whole game. They're having inward fighting about, you know, Trayvon Diggs literally got cut because he wanted to stay with his family. At least these are the reports that he wanted to stay with his family in Washington and not fly back to Dallas. And they told him no. Big argument. They've released one of their better players. Like, I don't know what kind of damage that will cause. And we'll get into that, whether it's, you know, players playing on Christmas, Draymond Green complaining about it. He wants to stay with his family, told no, then he's released. I don't know what's going on inside the Cowboys. I don't know how hard they're going to play. They've got a coach in place. They've certainly got a GM in place. They have everything in place. Nobody needs to win that game. Nobody needs to prove anything. I wonder how much they're going to play. And the New York Giants, and this is why I think that I'm hopeful for the first time. I'm hopeful the reports are true. Because we know Mike Kafka is going to coach to win the game. We know the players on the field are going to play to win the game. But the decisions on the roster, whether it's Wandell Robinson, who's missing practice today because of ribs, Theo Johnson, who's sick, Abdul Carter, who's sick, they've got a handful of guys. Dexter Lawrence has been nursing an injury all year. Burns doesn't have to play this whole game. Dexter Lawrence doesn't have to play this game. Because if you look at it right now, the New York Giants, if they beat the Dallas Cowboys, they could fall to as far as 7. A lot of people called me up the other morning with Jerry and said, Chris, don't worry. Second pick's just as good. It's just as good. And hey, theoretically, right, the Chiefs are playing a third string quarterback. Raiders could win that game. The players want to win. Pete Carroll wants to win. He's probably getting fired. He wants to win that game. These are the teams that are ahead of the New York Giants right now, or behind the New York Giants right now in the draft. Tennessee with 3 wins, tied with the Giants with 3 wins and behind them in the draft. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Arizona, they're playing at LA against the Rams. The New York Jets with 3 wins at Buffalo. And then you've got Washington at Philly with 4 wins, Cleveland at Cincinnati. If the Giants win, they would fall behind every other team on that list that would lose. They could fall back as far as 7. As far as 7. And I'm telling you right now, that is not the way to kick off the new year for Giant fans. If you make me sit through this slop for 16 weeks, watch this garbage for 16 weeks, and then give me 2 meaningless wins like you did 2 years ago when Tommy DeVito cost them Daniels or May. If they go out and beat the Dallas Cowboys, and I hate that they've done this to me, and I hate I have to root against them against the Cowboys, but I'm telling you right now, what if the Giants fall back to 7th and kiss goodbye the idea of trading and making a haul of a bunch of picks. Instead, take the seventh best player in what is best described as a mediocre draft. I am going to be sick. I don't know what kind of team Dallas is going to be on Sunday. And I'm sorry. I hate to do this one more time in. I hate to do it the last. I want to be positive, but part of the positivity around the New York Giants is having that top pick. And I can't go from owning and having control of the first round pick the last 2 weeks of the year and then falling all the way to seventh. You can paint me the brightest picture. You can tell me how much beating the Cowboys will help them. Not if the Cowboys take Dak off the field. Not if the Raiders give up and don't play their best players. There is nothing to be gained. Nothing. This team has won playoff games and followed it up with 40-0 to the Cowboys week one of the next season. There is nothing to be gained. And I'm sorry, as I sit here and I think about Dak not playing, the Cowboys having nothing to play for, and the possibility of a GM still feeling like he is under some scrutiny, and that he would like to give the Maras and the Giants organization a win against the division-hating Cowboys, who they haven't beaten forever, at home, in front of, I don't know, several fans of the New York Giants, at MetLife Stadium. And you've got a coach who's trying desperately just to be relevant and still get an offensive coordinator job probably next year. And a quarterback who desperately wants to win. And a team who feels like, you know, doing what they do. And I'm watching the highlights. You got them going up and down the bench, you know, pumping themselves up against the Raiders. Real excited to win this football game. It's one thing to fall from 1-2. If the New York Giants are standing there in April with the same GM and the 7th overall pick, I'm sorry, that is an enormous gut punch to me as a New York Giant fan who waded through 16 weeks of crap. We were Andy Dufresne. We were Andy Dufresne for 16 weeks, crawling through a tunnel of crap. And to get on the other side clean was a top pick that they can trade and get a huge haul for and add a ton of players to this roster. And if we come out of that tunnel only to stand in a puddle, and that the rain had already stopped and we're standing there filthy with the 7th overall pick, I'm going to be annoyed. Let's not start the new year like that. 888-808-1019. Giants need to lose this game desperately, because I just can't. Because again, and that's, and the bigger point is, like, that pick is what makes it enticing. Right now, we have major concerns about this general manager and whether or not the idea that you would have a general manager with this many losses attached to his name. This many losses attached to his name. A young coach, an experienced head coach, whomever, is not going to want to come in, join an organization, work with hand in hand a GM, build that relationship, get hired by this GM who's leading the search, get off to a lousy start or have a rough week, year one for whatever reason, and then feel like immediately that GM is on the hot seat because he can't afford another losing season. Coaches don't want to come into an unstable situation. It sounds like the Giants are going to give them that. You also have to give them the top pick, not the 7th pick, where you could take an Evan Neal. Not the 7th pick, where you're talking about one player to impact this roster instead of the massive haul that could be coming. And I hate it. And I'm sorry, but I can't get over the fact that yet again, last week we had to do it, this week we have to do it, and yet again, the New York Giants are going to be playing the Dallas Cowboys, the most bitter rival for many Giant fans. For me, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. But for many Giant fans, the Cowboys are the worst. They haven't beat the Cowboys in forever. Dak Prescott has not lost to the New York Giants since his rookie season. Has not lost to him since his rookie season. And I got to sit there and hope he plays the whole game. And hope they beat the crap out of the Giants, because a loss is a disaster. And I'm so sick of this organization putting me in this position. But as I was looking through it today, Dan Duggan, who covers the Giants for The Athletic, was talking about it. They could fall back to as far as seventh. I hate to say it, but I hope Joe Shane's in place. I hope he's in place and he recognizes this game has to be treated the way the Cowboys are treating it. Dexter Lawrence does not need to play this whole game. Burns does not need to play this whole game. Wandale Robinson, if he's got a rib injury, he sits. Abdul Carter, not feeling well, doesn't have to play the game. Theo Johnson, not feeling well, go work on your hands in the offseason. We'll see you next year. It's one thing to move from one to two. You can't fall to seventh.
Going up until 7 o'clock tonight when Scotty Farrell comes your way on The Fan on this New Year's Eve. Nico and Chris with us along the way. So, Tiki, there is an all-out war against Jackson Dart occurring on the internet. And this is where you...
Why, is this because of his new girlfriend?
Well, by the way.
It's good to date influencers.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, he can't not be a bust now with her.
She's got long it lasts.
Yeah. Look,
it's now just official.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to pull the Jeter and start signing footballs and hands to these girls.
Stop. Here's my number on the laces.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. That's not why the internet's exploding. This is where you keep it squeaky clean, taking off Twitter these days. So everybody loves betting odds now and gambling odds. And after Sunday's action, where the Saints won again and Tyler Shuck got his fifth win.
Yes.
Tyler Shuck went to minus money. Midas money is the favorite to win offensive rookie of the year in the NFL.
And nine starts?
Eight. I think he's five and three.
Yeah.
And he owes nobody an apology. I think he's been a pretty good revelation. Kellen Moore is getting the most out of him. He's woken up and unlocked Chris Olave.
Yep.
So none of this is a knock on Tyler Shuck.
Right.
But it is not neck and neck with even Jackson Dart. Totoro McMillan is the other guy right there.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart plummeted the other way on offensive rookie of the year odds.
Really?
So far the other way. Here's the thing.
Why?
Okay. A lot of this is influenced by betting money, and I'm sure there's a lot of surge coming in on Shuck money. But the why is the big question. What about NFL voters is going to make people vote for Shuck over Dart if this is what's happening? Now, let me just, before I get into planting my case, I'm going to sound like a gigantic hypocrite here, and I understand, because yesterday we had a brief throwaway segment on this very subject where I said, and I quote, who cares about offensive rookie of the year anyway? Because truly, who does care?
Yeah, right.
But for the sake of caring, the internet
cares. Legacy, it matters.
Okay.
If you're going to be an all-time great with your organization or in NFL history, the accolade matters with how you start.
Yes. I think that's a great point. This should not be a win-loss record award. And even if it was, Tyler Shuck, who's beaten some really bad teams, under 500 teams, has had this cupcake second half of the year schedule. Again, should not apologize. Kellen Moore's got the Saints going well.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart beat the Raiders, which is just as good a win as some of these Shuck wins. But he also beat Jesse Minter's defense with the Chargers. He beat the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and toyed with them in primetime.
Yep.
And in his losses... outside of that mistake versus Denver, that's in Denver. What Jackson Dart did versus that defense,
yep.
What Jackson Dart did in Chicago on a nasty weather day before getting the concussion, and he's had a couple of these other games where you knew when watching Jackson Dart. It's why we feel confident. It's why the Giants' head coaching job is attractive anyway. So as it stands right now, passing yardage-wise, Tyler Shuck's got 2,125 passing yards. Jackson Dart has 2,042, almost identical. 11 total touchdowns, both on the ground and through the air for Tyler Shuck, 22 for Jackson Dart. He's doubled him in touchdowns. Both have thrown 5 interceptions, QB ratings close to the same, and Jackson Dart rushing yards-wise is
significantly.
300 yards more rushing. It's incredible.
Tyler Shuck's got 152.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart has 455.
455, and yet percentage.
And 9 touchdowns.
Percentage-wise, tell me how there's now a 1% chance for Jackson Dart to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but nearly a 50% chance for Tyler Shuck to win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
It's only because of the perception of the team and the perception that the Saints are getting better, even though, as you mentioned, those wins are against the Carolina Panthers,
mm-hmm.
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are faltering in the second half of this season.
Right, I think they beat the Bucs twice.
Exactly. The Carolina, yeah, they beat them earlier. No, they lost to the Bucs earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was without Chuck, though. So, but they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers again, destroyed the Jets, and beat the Tennessee Titans. Those are the victories. I mean, there's not an above 500 team on, I think, in any of those. They lost to the Dolphins, and they lost to the Falcons with Tyler Shuck, and they got beaten, destroyed by the Rams with Shuck. So, like, he has 5 wins. Jackson Dart has 3 wins. So, but the direction of the Giants feels like they're treading water, whereas the directions of Kellen Moore's New Orleans Saints feels like they're, I don't know, they're building something that's going to be very relevant next season.
Okay.
It's a perceptual thing.
Okay, but here's
the... I don't think it's a reality thing.
All right, and this is exactly why it's not a reality thing. Again, you play with who you got, you play versus who you play versus, and I understand all of that. Man, Chuck has unlocked Chris Olave. You want to talk about stats and punish Jackson Dart for wins and stats? Is Chuck having Darius Slayton and Theo Johnson dropping big pass at the big pass in this game?
Chris Olave. Chris Olave was a first-round pick who was supposed... He was a top 11 pick. He was 11th pick in the draft 2 seasons ago, three years ago now. And yes, he's unlocked by Tyler Shuck. How has Wandell Robinson unlocked by Jackson Dart?
Yeah, he has his first 1,000-yard receiving season. But I guess I was saying to say, Neighbors hasn't played. Mm-hmm. He lost Scataboo, and they went through this, you know, the long losing streak. Right.
But the details don't matter.
No, but nobody cares about the details. And this is the problem with arguing with idiots on the internet. So I like a mistake, you know, trying to fish for content here throughout something to the effect of, I'll just read it to you because I got killed for this, Tiki. As Giants fans, we really need to stop caring and worrying about what Rookie of the Year voting odds say. If the Giants and Saints called and offered Jackson Dart / Shuck to teams, the other 30 teams would take Dart over Shuck quickly. That should tell you all you need to know. Is that a crazy statement?
I think that's fact.
Okay, thank you. And everybody's crying. What are you talking about? The concussions with Dart. Stop saying concussions.
He had one concussion. That drives me insane, by the way.
If we've learned anything about Jackson Dart, it's this year. He's actually not injury prone.
No, he's tough.
For how many times everybody wants to throw him in the blue tent, he keeps bouncing back on. I'm fine, guys. I'm a tough football player.
Yes.
I don't understand this. It's madness. Look, the Giants suck this year. It's been a miserable season. I don't need the Rookie of the Year to go to Jackson Dart for me to feel any better about Jackson Dart's future. But all I need to do is just squash the nonsense that suddenly the Giants spiraling means that Jackson Dart has been lapped here by Tyler Shuck in terms of like the rookie quarterback play. I don't understand that. Yeah,
it's not true, by the way. You can just watch them play and see the impact that Jackson Dart has had versus the impact that Tyler Shuck has had. Again, neither one is bad.
No.
But it's not miles apart.
No,
it's and the problem, I think the problem, and this is a New York issue, because you get Jackson Dart in the blue tent 7 times. Again, 1 diagnosed concussion.
1.
He's not going in there and they're just kind of like, all right, you know, just how you feeling? You good? All right, go back out there. They do the real concussion test. It's an independent evaluator. He's had 1 concussion. But when you listen to the conversation after games or even during the week in New York, every one of these beat writers wants to write the same story about Jackson Dart being injury prone because he's constantly in the tent and he had a concussion and he missed a couple of games. But that could happen to anybody.
Of course.
It could happen to a tackle. It could happen to a wide receiver. These guys get crushed. The problem is it's a quarterback in New York. And so you dig deep into it, and the same people or multiple people write the same story over and over and over and over again, and so it becomes the narrative that exists, even though it's not true. And it's funny because there was what was the game where Jameis Winston had to come in? They were in a tight red area. Jameis Winston had to come in.
It was absurd. It was a couple weeks ago.
It was Green Bay. Maybe it wasn't Green Bay. I can't remember now.
No, I think it was Green Bay.
And anyways, he has to go into the tent. And miss second and third down. Jameis Winston comes in. He comes in on fourth down. They fail on fourth down. And after the game, Jackson Dart was asked about, you know, what went on with that going in the tent, and he basically didn't have an answer. And it was like nonsense. I almost wish he would have said, Well, if you guys would stop talking about it,
right?
If you as media would stop bringing it up every single time I get hit hard, then this story will go away.
You know why it's a sexy story for them? This all comes back to the night he went into the blue tent and Brian Daboll tried to drag him out of
right.
there. And that was a national TV game.
Right.
That was a crazy fine the Giants got. And remember, this is a lot of reporters who were tired of the Brian Daboll antics and everything. And that became like the big,
right?
Look how desperate Brian Daboll is that he would take an interjection. It became the calling sign. So then, because this was Dable's guy and everybody thought that he was making Jackson Dart play reckless football because he was so desperate to save his job, it became, look, Daboll already took him out of the blue tent. Look how many times he's put him in harm's way and he's got to go back in the blue tent. It became this spiraling narrative for Giants reporters to keep asking about reporting about. And in the end, all you have to do as a reporter or a fan is watch the NFL every single Sunday, and I could give you 15 examples of quarterbacks getting hit harder than Jackson Dart on plays.
Yeah.
Christmas night, Bo Nix is going headfirst into the end zone, and Kirk Herbstreit's admiring his toughness. Jackson Dart does that, and Pat Leonard wants to ask 15 questions about why they're trying to get Jackson Dart hurt. It has become a spiraling narrative that's out of control that is now, right. I'm convinced, hurt Jackson Dart from winning an Offensive Rookie of the Year for Tyler Shough.
No, it definitely has. It starts to make me also question what the hell the reporter's agenda is. Because it's not real.
No.
He doesn't have a concussion issue. He's not Tua Tagovailoa, where he's unconscious and ticking on the field,
having the fencing position three times.
That's not what this is. He had one bad concussion, and it was because he fumbled, lost the ball, lost control of his body going to the ground against the Chicago Bears, and he left the game. That was the only one.
That was it.
I know he's been in the tent a lot. That's just the nature of the NFL these days. But what is the agenda? That's what I don't understand. When he gets another concussion, then ask the question. Not every time. Oh, the New England Patriots, they crushed him on the sideline. Oh, you need to protect yourself more? It's football, dude. We're not playing powder puff. I know maybe you never wore a jock strap, but damn, you're going to get hit. Yep. It's football.
He bounced right up in that
Patriot. Of course he did, because that hit doesn't hurt.
Right.
It doesn't hurt.
Play. It's a football play. These guys are football players. Jackson Dart's a football player.
And he wants to be tough.
That's it. And Mike,
and he wants to put his body on the line.
And Mike Kafka bit right into all of this narrative. And right. I think it hurt him as an interim head coach, and it hurt the Giants the last couple weeks. And lo and behold, boy, maybe you actually have a chance to win games if you let Jackson Dart be Jackson Dart. But nonetheless, stop the Tyler Shough mania. All of us will take Jackson Dart over. 888-808-1019.
I want to ask you about coaching before we let you go. And again, we're talking to Brian Baldinger, and Insider Callers are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. The New York Giants clearly, obviously, will be looking for a new head coach at the end of this season. A lot of talk from the fan base and from us here that they need someone steady. Is there a chance, could you see, since we're talking about Pittsburgh and Baltimore, both those coaches have been long-term, just absolute smashing successes there, been there for 18 and 19 years respectively. But it has gotten stale at some point. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't been consistently get to the playoffs, haven't won a playoff game in years. And now, you know, since 2018, Lamar and Harbaugh just haven't been that winning combination as good as their regular seasons have been. Could you see the loser of this game? And there's been talk around it, fire Tomlin chance from the Pittsburgh crowd, and, you know, questions about Harbaugh's long-term commitment to Baltimore. Could you see either of those two coaches shaking free if they lose this game?
I can't, but if one did, I would send the Learjet,
right?
You know, to either Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
You would be that would be it, those, right? Giant, you have to go said, get them.
If one of those coaches shake loose, I get them to my building, you know, pretty quick.
Yeah,
because I think, I mean, look, I think it's an attractive job. Honestly, I like Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I really do. And I know Malik Nabers coming back, and I think Wandale's going to be part of it. And, you know, Tracy and Scatterboo. I mean, there's pieces. And defensively, I mean, Abdul Carter's played very well the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Burns is an MVP candidate on that side of the ball. There's pieces there that you can really build with. The offensive line was pretty good this year. And I think that can only get better. They've got depth. Marcus Bowe stepped in at left tackle for Andrew Thomas, played well the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand it's the Raiders. I'm not getting too carried away. But still, I think it's an attractive job. Because I think I don't think this, you know, obviously they went to Denver. They should have won. They had a lot of games they could have won easily. They just, you know, couldn't finish these games out. I think this is a better team than a three-win team, a much better team.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of pieces where you see these reclamation projects get turned around very quickly. It's happening in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
But if you get the quarterback and the coaching staff and you do it the right way, this thing can, I think, turn around pretty quick.
I mean, the Patriots were awful last year. The down the stretch, the Bears have been, you know, were terrible last year. They were 1-9. And look where they are. So I think it's a quick turnaround. Let me ask you about the quarterback since you mentioned him. A couple things. First off, have you seen anything in his, because so much of the narrative of his run style and his constant trips to the tent, did you ever see a football player who was playing a style of football that could not be sustained? And if so, have you seen changes from Dart over the last weeks coming back from the concussion?
Well, they called some design runs the other day on third downs.
Yeah.
And he ran for first downs. I mean, those are plays that you got to put in the playbook. He's good at it.
Yep.
He had a couple scrambles. He was really good. I mean, all these guys have to get smarter with the ball in their hands. Trevor Lawrence was banged up every year trying to do some of those things. Steve Young was constantly getting hurt trying to do some. You got to get smarter. You know, these guys are hunting you up pretty good. And the rules are made to protect you. You take advantage of the rules. Slide, get down, get out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the SEC. You're not going up against guys that aren't going to play in the NFL. There's a lot of NFL players in the SEC, but you got to be smarter, and you got to learn how to protect yourself. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important for the quarterback. Drake May is taking every snap up there in New England. It's important to take every snap as a quarterback and to keep yourself healthy, and you got to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, and I think you have to. He's as he said, he's not a pocket passer necessarily. He's not.
It's okay.
He's not. Yeah, you don't have to be. You don't have to be Joe Flacco, as he put it, and stand back there. You could have a different element to your game, and I think it's been huge for him. And let me just ask you real quick then, because there's been some talk about it. The Giants are clearly going to have a top pick, whether it's the number one pick or whether it's the number two pick. They're going to be at the top of the draft. Mendoza seems to be the one quarterback as of right now, which could always subject to change before we get to the draft. The one quarterback kind of in this draft class. If you are sitting there as the New York Giants and you have an opportunity to either trade the pick or trade Jackson Dart and take Mendoza, do you have an opinion on that? Would you stick with Jackson Dart like the rest of us sane people? Or would you go with the draft pick and take Mendoza? What do you think of Mendoza right now?
I like Fernando.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, we're going to see what he does in the playoffs here. We'll all watch him this week. you know, he's under the microscope, which is good. We want to put these guys under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything right now says that he's going to be probably the top pick. But, I mean, I wouldn't – if I had a chance to get him, I would just stay with Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of Dart to know.
Right.
I know that kid can lead. I think he does everything the right way. From the moment he's been drafted, I think he's done everything right. So I'd want to keep building with him right now.
All right, so thank you very much. Before we let you go, just give me a quick, what do we see coming out of the AFC? What do we see coming out of the NFC? Because I'm not going to get a chance to talk to you probably before then. What are we thinking heading into this final week? Who are the two teams that stand out to you headed to the Super Bowl?
I feel like, I don't know, it's going to be great. But, I mean, nice. I'm going to take, I'll take Seattle right now.
Nice.
I'll take Seattle. And then, you know, Seattle against Denver, probably, or Seattle against Houston might be. I think Seattle and Houston, to me, like, I just think that defense is just that good in Houston right now. If they score 20 points, they don't lose games.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's up to Stroud. If Stroud and that offense can figure out a way to put up 3 touchdowns, you feel really good about that team right now. There's no doubt about it. Well, Brian, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk down the line sometime. If not, take care of yourself. Have a great new year. We'll talk soon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. The other thing that's happened with football that I just saw, the final 15 for this year's Hall of Fame class have been announced. And the Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer conversation is back. Woo! We missed it. I love that. Oh, man. As an overnight host, that's one of the, you go right, man, 3 o'clock in the morning, nothing going on. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? I want him not to get in just for that. Now I'm in the afternoon, I might not need it as much, but I love that conversation. But he's back in as one of the final 15. There's a couple of no-brainers added to the list this year, and we're going to see if Eli Manning gets in. You know, they typically, 3 to 5 from this list typically get in. Unfortunately, Tiki did not make the final 15 this year. We all know how we feel about him here, and me personally as a Giant fan. Tiki Barber is absolutely Hall of Famer, one of the greatest running backs of his generation. In my mind, top two back in the league for a couple of years. As you know, the beginning of a dual threat guy in the league, you know, him and a handful of others, really. I mean, you know, Marshall was the only guy I could think of off the top of my head in that generation that was, you know, better. But he does not make the final 15. Hopefully that's in the future for him. But you got Drew Brees, obvious. Larry Fitzgerald, obvious. Frank Gore. Was Frank Gore on it last year? Is this Frank Gore's first year, too? I'm just looking at the list. I think this is Frank Gore's first year. Long career. Torrey Holt and Luke Kuechly back on it. Terrell Suggs back on it. Adam Vinatieri. Oh, is that? Yeah, 2025. This is the first one I'm trying to see. I think that is the first year. Let me see if I can get the 24. Looking at the wrong list for which one was last year. But Adam Vinatieri on it, Reggie Wayne on it, Jason Witten, Darren Woodson. There are a lot of guys who are, I mean, quite clearly looking at first time. I mean, you know, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, there's no doubt. Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Famer, no doubt. I mean, Adam Vinatieri is the greatest clutch kicker of all time. Jason Witten, one of the best tight ends of his era. Reggie Wayne and what he was able to do with Manning. Darren Woodson. Torrey Holt and Luke Kuechly both, I think, got a lot of votes last year. So I don't know if Eli Manning is going to make it this year. There's a lot of tough names on that list. And you've got one quarterback for sure is going to get in ahead of him. I think we're having this, unfortunately for Giant fans, I think we're having this conversation again next year. And there's no doubt in my mind he is deserving. I think, you know, we go through this every year. Yes, he only won playoff games in the 2 years he won Super Bowls. Who cares? He won two Super Bowls. And he was not just along for the ride, like so many will tell you. He was a driving force in those. Yes, you know, getting to Tom Brady in the pass rush clearly was the most important element of that Super Bowl. But I would tell you he's got some of the more... I mean, that obviously to avoid the sack and have the helmet catch is a signature Super Bowl moment. And I would venture to say that the Manningham throw and that throw to Manningham on the sideline in the second Super Bowl in 2011, that's the best throw in NFL history. Like, I firmly believe that is the greatest throw in NFL history. How quickly he turns and sees him and instantly puts it up and, I mean, drops it in the bucket. And as someone here who is, and for most Giant fans, they don't feel this way, but I'm just fed up with Tom Brady. I'm tired of him. You see him everywhere. This is going to be the first AFC Championship game without either him or Patrick Mahomes in it since 2010 when the Jets were in it against the Steelers. This is the last time we haven't seen one of those two quarterbacks. It got to a point for me where it was like, oh, we can't have an AFC Championship game without Tom Brady. Can't have a Super Bowl without Tom Brady every year. Well, is Tom Brady going to be the next, you know, or, you know, what does this game do for his legacy? Like, I was just tired of it. Tired of him. I'm tired of it. I am. So I'm not the biggest Tom Brady guy. Even though most Giant fans don't have a problem with him because they beat him twice. But my favorite moment possibly ever, and my favorite moment of the two Super Bowls, just one distinct moment besides the final zeros and the confetti and knowing that they were Super Bowl champions. If you remember watching the game, Tom Brady is watching the replay on the big board, on the big screen, of the Manningham catch. And his frustration when he recognizes that it's a good catch. He talks to himself and walks back to the bench. He's standing on the sidelines, looking up at the big screen, sees it, says to himself, it's a bleeping catch, and walks away. It's one of my favorite moments. And I'm sorry, Eli Manning taking down those two with their 6 Super Bowls, 7 for Brady, to win those games and to have that signature game in the cold against Green Bay and beating Brett Favre, to beating the 15-1 Packers and, you know, the second run, to, you know, taking the beating he took against the 49ers in that championship game. I mean, the list goes on. And that Manningham throw, for me, is the signature moment for him, because I honestly believe when you take the circumstances of the Super Bowl, he's looking the other way, takes a quick glance to his left, and throws an at. You couldn't place it any better. For my money, that's the greatest throw in NFL history. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. And I hope it's in 2027.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.